a time of rightly dividing the word of truth. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Ministries, here is our pastor and teacher, Chris Gordon.
Grateful that you tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon, and as we have conveyed to you over the past few weeks, we are now a listener-supported program, so we very much would appreciate your prayerful and financial support. If you have done that, we thank you deeply for your help, and we desire to keep this radio broadcast coming to you, so do please support us. Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington 98264. Well, let's jump into our study today of Revelation chapter 3 and the church of Laodicea. Let me read a little bit of that and we'll pick up with where we left off yesterday. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. We'll stop there. What an amazing address and stern letter to this church. The Lord is saying, I'm the witness. I've got the word. I see what's going on in your church. And perceptions that you have aren't shared by me. Did you catch verse 15? I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Whoa. That comes from Jesus himself. Anyone ever hear those kind of warnings today? This is a stern letter, isn't it? What's going on in Laodicea? Well, Jesus is describing what he sees, and we're not reading of all these doctrinal errors like the other church. We're not reading of persecutions or evil practices. Jesus just says, blanketly, they are neither cold nor hot, but they are lukewarm. Now remember, this city had to pipe in its water from Hierapolis, and the springs over there were cooling, the hot springs, so that by the time the water reached them, their drinking water was an awful lukewarm temperature. And Jesus is using that to describe their sluggish and their weak devotion to him. Their heart was not in what they were doing. It wasn't sincere, wholehearted. And because of this, they were totally ineffective in their witness. Half-hearted commitment leads to the most insincere ministry possible. Because going through the motions is not done out of a fervent desire nor an understanding of the privilege we have to serve the risen Christ in his resurrection power. And what a church for us to consider today. As one pastor said, this describes vividly the nominal, rather sentimental, skin-deep religiosity, which is so widespread among us today in our Christianity. It is flabby and anemic. This is exactly the kind of church, as I have called it, that is a mile wide and an inch deep. What he's describing here is a group of people who are not really committed to the ministry and vision and mandate and commission of the church. And what produces a people who are uncommitted and half-hearted? How do you bring people into that kind of state? What facilitates that kind of response? I suggest it's one thing. I believe with all my heart, dear listener, it is one thing that promotes and instills this kind of half-hearted approach. It is a lack of being steadily challenged with the depths of God's word. And I mean depths. You know, I was talking with someone recently, and I left off with this yesterday, but I want to pick up. It's such an important point. They were describing the struggle they were having with their church and the preaching of their pastor, you know. But what struck me is that over and over and over, I'm hearing the same thing today. We're just not getting anything anymore. There's no depth to this. There's no exposition. There's no meat. We're starving. We're not being challenged. But then you'll hear things like, but they've got a good youth program, you know, and they got a lot of good programs for people. So, you know, we're sticking it out. Listen, if that is true, my response to that is that such an approach by the pastor is a choice. He is accommodating to what he perceives are the people's wants, not to what he has been sent by God to do. The sad thing about it is most Christians today are fully accepting of this. It's easy, you know? It's mindless. It doesn't require anything. It doesn't push you. It doesn't challenge you. You can just remain comfortable. You can be eased in it and thinking all along the way that that is what Christianity is. Counting the cost is a foreign thing. As a matter of fact, counting the cost is viewed as legalism. Telling people to do anything, telling people to follow hard after Christ, telling people to do anything that requires anything now is legalistic. And throwing out all conviction, this approach to the church has had two devastating effects. It has killed a hunger for the word of God in people. That just makes me bleed in the heart. You know, I don't see a hunger for the word. I see a hunger for a lot of traditions. I see a hunger for a lot of socially acceptable models. I see a hunger for everything else under the sun than the word of God. And so when there's no hunger for the word of God in the people, when there's no drive to sit under that word by the people, what do you think that does to the church's witness? Well, people have come for the wrong reasons, and they offer nothing by way of witness to the world of the life-changing power of Christ, which comes through the revelation of his word. I've always said to myself, you know, think about what he says here. You know, I could wish that people were either cold or hot. Isn't that amazing? Jesus says that to the church. I've always said to myself, if people want to leave the church that I preach in, it's never going to be because they're not getting the pure preaching of the Word of God, but for this reason. They have been so confronted with the Word of God, it has been so plainly and directly set before them and challenged them in such a way to convict them of their sin and their need for Christ and His grace and to actually make some real changes in their lives. When they hear it, they can't remain lukewarm. They either have to get hot or get out. But that no one in the building could ever be satisfied. This is just a great burden for me. That no one in the building can ever be satisfied with just being a seat warmer. They are either going to be coming to Christ, growing in Christ, becoming hot in their love and in their faith and an understanding of the word, or they're going to go in the opposite direction. And that is just what Christ says here. The word cuts two ways. And he says, I hate lukewarmness. I could wish that you were either cold or hot. Because you're not either of these. You're like the waters piped in from Hierapolis. And as you want to vomit them out of your mouth when you drink them, I want to vomit you out of my mouth, says the Lord. Wow, dear listener. Did you just hear what Jesus said? He just said, I want you in your ministry to be taking people in one of these directions. It should be having that kind of effect. And that is so important for us, isn't it? The ministry should be taking you in one direction or the other. The sword cuts two ways. In other words, if we are the fragrance of Christ to those who are being saved and to those who are perishing, the ministry should be making the believer hot. And it should be making those who don't want to hear cold. We should be the stench of death to people. Week after week, I hope no one here, as we go on Abounding Grace, is receiving the word and just being complacent, but that actually it is rooting out those who do not believe, that they don't want to listen. Isn't that a shocking thing to say? The alternative is much worse, of course, to have a ministry that does not produce anything and allows everyone just to remain complacent, never confronted, never challenged, never moved, never missionary-minded. This, I said, Christ says, I hate. So, see what he's after? Let me put this positively. What does he want from his churches? He wants wholeheartedness. You know, we tend to think today that the church is about us. It's about our comforts. It's about how we feel. It's about the programs. It's about this or that. Jesus is calling us to something just radically way different. What he says in saying, I wish you were either cold or hot, what he is saying is, I want it to be really clear. But his challenge to the church here is positively to respond with fervent zeal to the gospel as it springs into our activity and into our ministries as a church. Let me put it in conventional terms, even though I hate it when I hear it because it's so such goofiness is often attached to it. But we need to be on fire, don't we? There should be a fire and a passion within us. A fervor. I've always loved what Titus describes, you know. He describes the gospel. He describes Christ. And he says, he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people. Ready? Zealous for good works. You know what that word zealous means? It means burning with zeal. There is to be in your lives as members of Christ's church a burning with zeal about the work and the service of Christ's name. Not stagnant, not uncommitted, not complacent. And so I would say, look at your churches and mark their feebleness, the slow growth of the gospel among them, the low lives of the bulk of professing Christians, as one pastor said. You know, and answer this question. Is that operation of the divine spirit that comes to transform and to quicken everything into his own vivid and flaming fire, is it there? Or is it the operation of our own selfishness and worldliness, crushing down and hemming in the power that ought to sway us? Isn't that an amazing statement? Jesus is basically saying to us, I deserve more than that. I deserve much better treatment than a bunch of people who claim to be followers of me, but who show absolutely no life and no drive and no commitment in their service to me. And so you just got to warn those who say, I want nothing to do with the church. I'm telling you blatantly and openly, you have nothing to do with Jesus. Because Jesus is with his church. Jesus is correcting his church. Because there he has put his name. So, you know, what a if we look at this as we should today, it's an encouragement. It's an encouragement to be on fire and in zeal and in passion for the ministry of Christ. Because as we do that, his name is taken to the ends of the earth and people are saved. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program. We sincerely desire your prayerful and financial support, so write to us. Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington 98264. Again, that P.O. Box is 732. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.